Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are in the middle of our week going through, once again so far, the first verse of Romans 15. Good news is I think we're going to get on to verse 2 today, which is extremely exciting. And these are convicting verses. And I know I've been sharing personally just about the way that the Lord has continuously been convicting me. And friends, if we're reading the same Bible and if we have the same Spirit of God, I'm sure, unless you are the Virgin Mary and are perfect, which in that case, please send us an email so that we can have you as a guest on the show, you are also being convicted by this. Because each one of us, as we mentioned yesterday, is on this journey from the inward focus to the outward focus. That when we are giving into our flesh, when we're living this way of life that's like fleshy, that's wanting what we want, we turn into ourselves and we consume people and we devour people and we live this life of like grasping and self-protection and closing in. But when the Spirit of God comes us and gives us the security of being children of God, we're able to look outward. And it's not just like a one-time thing that it's like, well, did you get the Spirit of God that made you secure? It's over and over again, receiving that beautiful, you know, that beautiful image of Jesus getting baptized. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter. It's moment after moment living out of that place. So we're able to live a life that's for others. So we're talking about living that life that's for others. And yesterday we ended with Romans 15:1 talking about bearing each other's weaknesses, really coming from this place of with our own sin before our eyes, correcting about other people's sin from a place of love, but also being able to not give up on people, being able to not, you know, say like, this is the last straw. And obviously we need to have right boundaries. Obviously, if there's people who are really harming us, we need to put distance there. But I think sometimes the world is teaching us how to have improper boundaries. And, you know, working with teens, this is really interesting because I've heard some teens talking about this, and we do like our Bible study, and they were telling us high schoolers that like, it's really trendy. It's like a trendy thing in the culture to cut people off, to just be like, no, I'm done with this person. Like, this person is annoying. This person is a no, whatever. And how that's actually not like the culture of the kingdom of God. And so this idea of enduring and bearing with one another, even when people hurt us, obviously when people are harming us in a bad way that we know we need to separate, but even when people hurt us, they say, oh, I'm going to push through this pain and I'm going to love this person. So that's where we ended yesterday. And it's challenging, friends. The Word of God is challenging. It convicts us. It calls us to live to a higher standard. It calls us to rise to the occasion. And so really, like we need, as we're saying, we need the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. We're going to move on to verse 2. And let's pray again, because again, I need the Holy Spirit even to like give me eyes to look into myself, to talk about this stuff, to say, actually, you know what? It might be our pride holding us back and not just the weakness of this other person. Because every encounter we have, even if someone is like the most annoying person you've ever met. It was so funny. I was at a conference recently and one of the speakers, she's like, let's just acknowledge like everybody is annoying to someone, you know, like you're annoying to someone. Someone else is annoying to you. Like, even if that's the case, whenever we have an interaction with someone that's not really great or we don't really like, it's almost always something in us mixing with something in them. And so there's always something that we can find to say like, Lord, help me be more loving. And we need the eyes of faith. We need the eyes of God's gentleness on us to help us so we can actually walk in newness of life. So if you join me in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and read Romans 15 again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, help us to fix our eyes on you. And to open up our hearts as we hear these scriptures, that you may convict us, that we may allow your eyes to see the blind spots that we have, our hardness of heart, that we may be exposed, that we don't just hear this word and think of, oh, this person needs to do that, this person needs to do this, I can't wait for this person to change in this way, but for us to, with kindness and gentleness to ourselves, and with your grace, look at ourselves and say, yeah, you know what? I need that. I need you. And Lord, we just come to you with need. We come to you with dependency. We are weak. We don't know how to not look for our own pleasure. Help us, Lord. We ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's read our text here. Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to edify him. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached thee fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Amen. So we left off. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now we have verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to edify him. So one, we're enduring the weaknesses of others, to not condemn them, to not quit on them. But he takes it a step further. He says, not only should you endure with others, not only should you walk with them, but you should please your neighbor for your neighbor's good. So one, a couple things. One, the center and purpose of my life should not be getting what I want. Even sometimes this sneaks in with idolatry in the way that we see God. We plan out this whole life for ourselves. The job we want, the spouse we want, the house we want, the neighborhood we want to live in, all of this kind of stuff. And it's not, I'm not saying it's bad to have those desires. I'm not saying don't plan your life and just throw your plans up in the air and say, whatever, I'm not doing any planning. That's not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand me. But we want this life. And then sometimes God doesn't give us that and we're bitter towards God. And then other people get in the way of that. Someone doesn't respond in the way we want them to respond. Someone hurts us. Someone causes us suffering. Someone does, you know, whatever inconvenience someone causes us, we're like, oh, that person's not part of my story and my plan. And really, God is trying to get our vision to change, to saying the story is about him. And when the story is about him and we're looking at him and we're loving him, our vision naturally goes to how do I love and please others? It's a process. It's not like a white knuckling, but sometimes we do have to be like, wow, my thought process is so on myself right now. You know, last night I was in a situation and I, instead of like focusing, I was literally in this fight in my mind. Instead of focusing how I was serving, I was like noticing the faults of other people and letting myself get like revved up by it. And the Lord was like, this is actually taking away from what you need to be giving the people that you're serving. And so that's the first thing of like being others focused too, pleasing our neighbor for his good. What does this actually mean? Because this is now a way, what would it look like if I woke up every day and went out into the world and said, my goal is to please my neighbor for his good, to build him up. There's some related verses that I think are helpful here. 1 Corinthians 10, let no one seek his own good. Wait, stop there. Right? This is going along with that Romans 15. It's like, there's something about that feels so vulnerable and exposing. What do you mean don't seek my own good? There's something innate in the human spirit that's like, if I don't seek my own good, who's going to seek my own good for me? If I don't seek my good, who's going to seek my good? You know, it's like this protective, this lack of trust in God. And there's a way for me, friends, that my pride and my insecurity and ultimately my desire to be loved comes up. And it's like, well, I'll seek my neighbor's good when I know he's going to seek mine. I'll please my neighbor when I know my neighbor's aiming to please me. And it's this exchange. It's this tit for tat. Let no one seek his good but the good of his neighbor. Philippians 2, do nothing from selfishness, but in humility count others more than significant than yourselves. Galatians 5, through love serve one another. And so what is pleasing your neighbor? What is searching for his good? First, I think in order to know how we please others, we're not meaning people pleasing. We're not meaning like, oh, getting others' approval. What do people want? That's not what we're saying. That's not where we're going with this. But to say, okay, I'm not like this depth of pleasing, like not people pleasing, this deeper meaning. It does not mean people pleasing or compromising truth. It means what? Choosing what helps your neighbor grow in goodness, even at cost to yourself. Serving their true good. So let's go through a couple things. What does it actually mean to please your neighbor for their good? Serving their true good, not whatever they want, but what is actually good for them, especially their spiritual good. And to know what's actually good for others, we have to know what is good. What is goodness? What is actually good for them? Not whatever they want, but what is actually good for them. And so sometimes I want people to respond to me in a certain way. Sometimes I don't want people to call me out. Sometimes I want people to help me to walk in a way with me that's not virtuous. Sometimes I want, you know, we want to sin together. We want to do different things together. We want people to gossip with us. We want all this kind of stuff. But what is actually good for others? Two, acting out of love and not self-interest. Giving up personal preferences, rights, and comforts to help someone else. Giving up personal preferences, this is something I think is a really good practical way to practice, right? How can I give up my personal preferences for someone else? What is a preference that I have that I find so annoying? What is a way that I can die that's not compromising what is good? How can I love someone out of love and not self-interest? Three, building people up. Paul literally says, build people up. So pleasing is aimed at strengthening faith, peace, and virtue. Serving their true good, acting out of love, and not self-interest. And I think it's really good to brainstorm practicing this, like to how to not fall into people-pleasing, because I think we do this so often. It's like, how do I please my neighbor? I want to make my neighbor feel good. I want to make them happy. I want to make them excited. I want them to have fun with me. All of that is okay. But to say, actually, like, how am I growing them? How am I edifying them? You know, really, really briefly, and maybe I'll continue to talk about this tomorrow, but I read this novel called Theo of Golden. And in it, this old man moves to this town, and there's all these portraits of people in the town there that are painted and hung up in this coffee shop. And what he does is he buys the portraits of the people and then writes them a letter saying, meet me on this bench in the park. I want to give you this portrait of yourself that was painted. And when the people come and they sit on the bench next to them, he unveils the portrait and he tells the people, just by seeing your portrait, this is what I saw in you. That I was drawn to the kindness of your eyes, that I saw this is a person who suffered and who's come out on top, that this is a person who's so good. And it was like this beautiful story, because he was like, through this portrait, he was like edifying them. Right? He was like seeking their good. And I think there's just practical ways that the Lord wants to brainstorm with you of how can you put aside your preferences to edify others. We'll continue this great conversation tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.